Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to your New Testament, to the book of Philippians. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, you're welcome to grab one in the pew in front of you. Those blue Bibles are there for you. If you don't have a copy of God's Word at home, they are there for you to take with you. If you know somebody that doesn't have one, they are there to take for you to take to them. So feel free to use one this morning, and we are going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-11. Now, if you weren't with us last week, we dove into Philippians last week, and we just started with the last two verses. And even in the first two verses, we catch a glimpse of how the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this. We see that for Paul, because of the Lord and his relationship with the Lord, very little depended on Paul's circumstances. His role in life did not depend on his circumstances. He viewed himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. His joy, God's grace, God's peace, none of those things depended on Paul's circumstances or actions. Only on the Lord and his relationship with the Lord. And we saw that that is also true for us. So today we're going to begin walking through really what is kind of the introduction to this letter. Just like if you and I were to write a letter today, we would kind of greet our friend, whoever we were speaking to. And we see that happen from Paul to the Christians at Philippi. Now remember, his relationship with these people in Philippi is very close. 10 years prior to writing this, he helped plant the church in Philippi. He's kept up with them. They've kept up with him. As he's gone on mission to plant other churches, they've helped support him through prayer and giving. And this is really a thanksgiving letter that we find a lot of encouragement in this morning. So what we're going to do first, we're going to read this passage, and then we are going to pray. And we're going to try and dive deep into it. So, are you ready? All right. Follow along in your copy of God's Word, verse 3 of chapter 1, in the letter to the Philippians. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father, we want to know you better. Lord, and we pray that that would happen through your word this morning. Lord, we want to know your will for our lives more deeply, and we pray that that would happen through your word this morning. We want to know that how you call us to live on a daily basis. We want to know what following you looks like on a daily basis, and Lord, we pray that you would reveal that to us through your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would do things here in our hearts, those that are listening, Lord, things that only you can do. You are worthy of all of our worship. Amen. So, in this greeting, and you see Paul's affection for the Philippian church, the way he speaks to him. I thank my God for you in all my prayers. I pray them with joy because of you, because of your partnership in the gospel. He says at one point, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. Those are strong words. Words that some men would be hesitant to say to any one person or group of people, right? These are strong, emotional words from Paul. Later on in verse 8, it says, for God is my witness. He's making an oath. For God is my witness. How I yearn for you, all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So, do you see Paul's affection for these people? It's strong. He's writing to thank them for a gift that they have sent him. You see also that in these few verses here, he's in prison currently. Maybe traditional prison, maybe house arrest, but he was in Rome at this time. And he is just so thankful for this church in Philippi and their love for him. One of the things I want to point out before we really get diving in is you see the word you or your several times in these verses 3 through 11. And every time, you can, if you're a circler or underliner in your Bible, every time you see it here in this passage, it's our word, y'all, or y'all's, right? He is speaking to the church as a whole. One of the things, when we read the New Testament, a lot of times we read it as individuals. And there are points where we should, but there's also points where we should apply it to us as a church. And this is one of those places. Paul is speaking not to an individual, not to a couple of people, but the entire congregation at Philippi. He is saying to them, I am thankful for y'all and y'all's partnership in the gospel, the way y'all have cared for me, the way y'all have helped God's mission. I am thankful for y'all. In this passage, we see Paul affirms something about the Christians in Philippi. In fact, he affirms the fact that they are, in fact, Christians. They are saints. They are in Christ Jesus. And we see three different ways that is evidence, three different pieces, three different signs of evidence that they are saints in Jesus. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to dive in. We're going to see those three signs, and we're going to call them signs of the saints. And we're going to look into our own lives and see if we see those same three signs. And if we don't, we're going to pray for those signs. Okay? So, here we go. The first sign is this. Sign one of the saints. Saints are being made holy together. Saints are being made holy together. You guys with me? All right, so look at verse 6. This is one that probably many of you, whose favorite verse is Philippians 1:6? Got anybody in here? There's one. I already knew that, Brother Ted, yeah. And there's another one. Okay, Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Look at the first part. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, or in y'all, right? And the good work he's talking about isn't something specific, but it's the work of salvation. He's taking the Philippian church and he's saying, look, when Jesus began all of this in your hearts, the day that you were convicted of your sin and you repented and began following Jesus and he saved you, that day when he began this good work in you, that good work, he's going to bring it to completion. You can look back with me at Acts 16. Hold your finger in Philippians 1. Acts 16. When the church at Philippi began, we see a couple of different situations. I'm just going to look at one of them here. Where Paul goes into Philippi, verse 14 of Acts 16. Acts 16:14. It says, I'll give you a second to get there. We see Paul go into Philippi, being led by the Holy Spirit with some other men that he's traveling with. And no one in Philippi knows the Lord yet. They don't follow Jesus. No one knows exactly what Jesus did for them or understands how it applies to their lives until the Lord leads Paul into this town. Verse 14, it says, "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." So in other words, she invited them in as a hospitable host. She came to know the Lord. She wanted these men to stay so other people could come to know the Lord. This was when the good work of Jesus Christ began in the heart of Lydia. This was her day of salvation. Every person in the church at Philippi had a story like this. At some point, they came in contact with the good news of Jesus Christ, and at some point, they believed it and turned to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Paul is referring back to that time for every individual at the church in Philippi. He who began a good work. So I want you to think about something for a second. Some of us, and sometimes in church we talk about it as if when the Lord saves us, His work in our lives is done. It's like, He saved me, so now I just got to get to the day that He takes me home and enjoy it until then, right? But that's not what the Word communicates to us. The picture that the Word gives us is that when we are saved, as Jesus says in John chapter 3, we are born again, which means we have some growing up to do from that point forward. Nothing changes our salvation. We are saved, but there's a process that begins when we are saved. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's reminding the church at Philippi that when Jesus saved them, He wasn't done with them. He was just getting started with the work He was going to do in and with them. The church word that we use for that is sanctification. It just means that we are being made holy. And the way that the Lord makes us holy, one of the ways is He does it with us being together. He uses His church to make us holy. He uses sermons to make us holy. He uses congregational singing to make us more like Him. Who has been moved by the Spirit as they sang to the Lord with other believers? I have. He uses Sunday school and small groups to make us more like Himself. He uses our own personal, individual time with Him in His Word to make us more like Himself. He uses conversations between brothers and sisters in the midst of storms to make us more like Himself. And as the days go by and the weeks go by and the months go by and the years go by, He's continuing that good work that He started long ago in our hearts. And He's going to bring it to completion when He returns or when He takes us home. You with me? And so Paul begins on a note of encouragement to the church at Philippi. Look at the second part of this verse 6. He who began a good work in you will what? He will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. In other words, when Jesus returns, he's going to finish what He started. He's going to finish what He started in me. He's going to finish in what He started in you. He's going to finish what He started in us, making us more like Himself, making us holy. Church, it is a present happening. We, if we are in Christ, we are being made holy together. You with me? So just to make sure that the encouraging part of this connects with us. This means that, well, let me ask a question. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you feel like you've just hit a brick wall with your ability to do something? Like, you need to do this certain thing, and you've tried it over and over again, and you just can't do it. I'm not necessarily talking about anything spiritual. Maybe it's like trying to fix a leak with your sink in your bathroom or something, and you just can't do it. And you get to the point where you want to quit, right? Sometimes we hit a wall like that spiritually, and what we need to hear in this passage is that the Lord is never going to let us stop growing because the Lord is the one that enables us to grow into His likeness. So you may be discouraged today. You may have been discouraged in your past, or you may become discouraged in the future because you have hit a wall spiritually. And you feel like you can't do anything right. You don't understand these circumstances. You feel like God is far away from you. And you need to hear these words in your life. That He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He will. The other part of this is, have any of you ever been frustrated with another person? There you go. Not frustrated with ourselves, but other people, yes. See, in the church, our temptation is to grow weary with one another. Especially when the other is not acting like Jesus. Especially when we feel like we've given them every tool and opportunity that they need to act like Jesus. Right? And they still don't. We need to remember that He who began a good work in that person, He, Jesus, will be faithful to complete it. And He's patient with them. And so should we. And the moment we begin to become impatient with them and prideful about ourselves, we need to also remember that He's not done with us yet either. And there's still stuff that's not like Him in me too, right? The church, like Paul starts with this statement that may or may not seem encouraging to you, but I hope that it is. He started something. If you are a believer here today, if you've placed faith in Jesus, He started something in you. And He's going to continue to work and work and work in you to make you more like Himself. And He won't stop. You're a leader or you're discipling someone and your temptation is to grow weary with them, don't become weary. Be patient as the Lord is patient with you. Because He who began a good work in that person, He will finish it. He will. Do you see it? We are being made holy like Him together. You with me so far? Sign two of the saints. So sign one is we are being made holy together. Sign two, saints take the gospel further together. Look at this passage. There's so much packed into here. We could spend days on each of these. But look at what Paul says, the way he addresses the church at Philippi. He tells them he's thankful for them. One of the reasons we find in verse 5 that he's so joyful and thankful in his continuing prayer for them is this. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, in other words, from the day that many of you got saved back 10 years ago in Philippi to the present day, for your partnership in the gospel. Some of your Bibles may say fellowship. It means the same thing. The idea is that they have partnered together with Paul. They have a common goal, a common mission, common interest, and they've both sacrificed to accomplish that mission or that goal. That's what the idea of partnership here is. Similar to business partners, right? Two people go into business together. They probably both spent money to get the business started. They both sacrificed. They have the same goal in mind. They're working together to make it happen. And this is the church at Philippi along with Paul. They are partners in the gospel. Fellow workers, co-laborers, fellowshipping around the common goal of taking the gospel further to people who have yet to hear it and yet to understand it, right? So we see this again in verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. The word partakers, again, is a picture of God's grace, like they are eating together of something. They are taking in something together. And it's God's grace. And God's grace is giving them the ability to do something. And that is to take the gospel further. Paul addresses his imprisonment here. He says, you've been partakers of God's grace in my imprisonment. In other words, when we thought the gospel may stop, I have the opportunity to write letters. I have the opportunity to witness to my guards. Here in Rome, where I've always wanted to take the gospel, you've been part of that. You are part of that by your support of me now. But you're also participating in God's grace in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. When I preached it freely outside of these prison walls. When you preached it freely in Philippi in my absence. You see, the church in Philippi didn't stop when Paul left Philippi. The church in Philippi continued. Because the people that Paul led to the Lord, by God's grace, he led them to make more disciples. And by God's grace, they made more disciples. So the church was still existing 10 years later after Paul left Philippi. Not only were they existing, but they were pushing the gospel further and further. More people were coming to faith in Christ in Philippi. And the missionary they were supporting, Paul, more people were coming to faith in Christ because of his work. So they were taking the gospel further. Do you see it? Further and further and further. Church, this is a mark of the Christian. Christians are being made holy together, but also Christians take the gospel further. It should be a passion of ours to see the gospel go further in our neighborhoods to people who have yet to understand it, people who have yet to accept it, to some even here in Cairo that have yet to fully hear the gospel. It should be a passion of ours to see the gospel go to nations where it has never been heard and never been understood. It should be a passion both in our neighborhoods and in the nations. But it should also be a reality. It was a reality for the church at Philippi. It wasn't just a passion. It wasn't just talk. There's a great difference between a church that talks a lot about taking the gospel further and a church that actually takes the gospel further. My prayer for us is that we would be a church that actually takes the gospel further. Isn't that your hope? Paul is confident in their salvation. He's confident in their being made holy, their sanctification. And one of those reasons that he's confident is because they are taking the gospel further. You may say, Pastor Andrew, like I want that to be a reality in my life. Like I want to follow Jesus in that way. I want to be like the church at Philippi and Paul in that way. But I don't know where to start. And I would encourage you, this is extremely practical. I want to encourage you, get involved with Sunday school here at Eastside. It's our way of fellowshipping together in small groups, but it's also our way of serving together and taking the gospel together locally. And invite visitors to come in so that they can meet people that may or may not be involved with church. And if they aren't, extend open arms to them so that they can perhaps share the gospel with them. Our Sunday school classes are set up so that they, like if you get involved with Sunday school, you will have the opportunity to take the gospel further. So if you don't know where to start, that's not the only step. That's an easy step to take. All right. So, two signs. You with me? You with me? Okay. Two signs. Saints are being made holy together. And two, saints should be taking the gospel further together. And three, saints should be taking the gospel deeper together. Now look at Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. Look at verse 8. He says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Strong words. Verse 9, "And it is my prayer." He's telling them his prayer, not just in general, but for them. "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi was that their love, and we could just assume, easily assume from God's word, it's not really an assumption, but just from the whole counsel of God's word, that he's talking about their love for the Lord, their love for one another, their love for people that don't know Jesus. That their love would abound more and more. It would grow and grow and grow and grow deep within them, similar to the way he is expressing his love for them. That word in verse 8, affection, literally is the word for like insides, intestines, all the stuff that's in us. Paul says, I yearn for you with the insides of Christ Jesus. That is how deep my love goes for you. It'd be like me saying to you, I love you with all of my heart. So as Paul expresses his abounding love for them, he's saying, I'm praying that your love would abound more and more and more and more. And how does our love abound more and more and more? He tells us, verse 9, with knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of who? Jesus, right? So we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, we are better able to love one another, right? We don't know whether to serve people or tell them about Jesus. We don't know. So we watch what Jesus does in the Gospels, and we see that he serves people and he tells them about himself. And so we try to do both, right? It teaches us how. Our knowledge informs us how to love one another and how to love others. We don't know how to worship God, how to love him as a church. We read the word and we discover that with knowledge. We may have a host of different ways to love our neighbor, but we may not know which one. And Paul says, verse 9, with knowledge and all discernment. In other words, you won't just know ways to love people, but you will know which way to love people. You will know how to apply God's love in that situation. You may have multiple opportunities to serve your neighbors. You don't know how to get the gospel to them. And Paul is praying for the Philippian church, not just to know how to love, but to know how to love specifically the people that are surrounding them. That their love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. I want to say something, and I want to try and say it as clearly as I can. Some people, Christians, saints, don't love their brothers and sisters in Jesus, don't love their neighbors. And it's not always because they don't want to. It's because they don't know how to. They don't know because the word is closed in their house. Some of us struggle. We know there's multiple ways to serve that person in our life that doesn't know Jesus. We know that we are supposed to take the gospel to them, but we struggle with how to do that. In this prayer for the Philippian church is a prayer that we would know how. We know that loving them would mean serving them and taking the gospel to them. We don't know how. Paul says all discernment, so he wants us to know how. And Jesus is faithful to answer those prayers. This is a prayer for myself. It is a prayer for us as a church. That we would know what love is and we would know how to apply it to the people in our lives and to the Lord. The way this happens is the gospel goes deeper into our minds and deeper into our hearts. I want you to think about this for a second. In order to love better, we need to know God's word better. In order to know God better, we need to know his word better. That is primarily how he's revealed himself to us. Some people say, well, I'm not an academic. Neither were those fishermen that followed Jesus around. Some people say, well, I'm just not a reader. I don't enjoy it. And say, well, you may not enjoy anything else, but if you pray for a love of God's Word, He'll give it to you. You may not ever become a reader of anything else, but I pray you would become a reader of His Word. There's all kind of excuses we could produce not to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But they all fall flat. They all fall flat. If we want to abound in love, one of the primary ways we do that is to know Him. I'm going to give you one example of this. Many times in many churches, there's conflict between two brothers or two sisters. We see this later in Philippians, actually. And conflict often goes left unsaid and nothing happens to it in the church because with good intentions, people don't want to make it any worse than it already is. But we find very clear instructions when it comes to conflict in God's Word. Jesus gives it to us in Matthew 18. There's other places in the New Testament letters that gives us to it. Jesus does not direct us to back away from it, let it cool off. He directs us to go to our brother and address the problem, address the sin. But oftentimes, we don't do it, and it's not because we're refusing to obey God's Word. It's because we don't know that Jesus tells us to do that. We must grow in our knowledge. We must grow in our knowledge if we're going to abound in love. Are you with me? Gospel needs to go deeper into our minds, deeper into our hearts. When the gospel goes deeper, we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. When the gospel goes deeper, we grow in discernment, how to love one another and how to love others. When the gospel goes deeper, our hearts, our hands become more pure. Look at verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent or best, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. When the gospel goes deeper, Jesus produces more and more righteousness in our lives. Look at verse 11. This is a result of growing, abounding in love. We would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through who? Jesus Christ. So when our gospel goes deeper into our hearts and our minds, Jesus produces more and more righteousness in our lives. When the gospel goes deeper, we are more and more ready and more eager for the return of Jesus. Because we know, we can testify from the fruit of our lives that Jesus has brought about, that He is making us more like Himself for His return, for God's glory. All of it, why? Look at the end of verse 11. To the glory and praise of God. This is where Paul begins this letter. It's just where he begins. He's affirming them because he sees this in their life. He knows God is working through them. He knows for a fact that what God started, God will finish. He knows for a fact that they are taking the gospel further. He knows for the fact that the gospel is going deeper into their hearts and minds. And he's saying, I am confident that the Lord is finishing what He started so long ago in you. My prayer is that as individuals this morning, we would examine our lives for these signs and pray and ask the Lord to produce these signs in our lives, that He would make us people that aren't just passionate about the gospel going further, but He would make us people that actually take the gospel further, that aren't just passionate about the preaching of the gospel, but passionate about the gospel going deeper and deeper and deeper into our hearts and minds so that we could become more like Him and abound in love ourselves. If you're here today, you need to know that God's love abounds for you. And that abounding love is found alone in Jesus Christ, who He sent to live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death upon the cross and then raise up from the dead. And He is trustworthy and true, living today. You can trust Him today. If you're here and you're a Christian and you just need to bring something before the Lord, the altar's open. You can pray in your pew. If you're here and you need to respond to the gospel for the first time, you can do that as we sing. You can wait till the service is over. Regardless of what you're doing, I pray that you'll sing to the praise and glory of His name as we close today. Let's pray. Father, we do love You.
God, we are humbled by your word today. God, we pray that as individuals, we could be confident of the good work that you're doing in our lives. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that just feels stalled out, like they want to grow in their faith, but they've hit a wall, God, I just pray that by your grace, you would just encourage their hearts today. And God, I pray that you would just continue to grow them up more and more like you. I pray that as a church, you would do that work in us, Lord, that you would make us more and more and more like you as a church. That we would continue to take the gospel further and continue to be passionate about that, God. And we would continue to take the gospel deeper into our hearts, and we would continue to be hungry and thirsty for that. God, may this be the testimony of our church, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Climb up, coming after me. The Cause no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down,